At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Maurice Oostendorp. Go ahead, please, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning all, also on behalf of Annemiek. We thank you for calling in, and we start with the headlines of our first half results. We've had a good first half of 2018, and we have been able to further implement our view on banking with a human touch. That is reflected in a sustained commercial growth, in particular a strong growth by almost 900 million of our retail mortgage portfolio and a further growth of our current account customers. In financial performance terms, we made a net profit of 149 million, slightly above our long-term return on equity target of 8%, 8.5% return on equity. As I said, we made further progress in implementing banking with a human touch. We strive for a proposition based on the service that we render to our clients, which differentiates itself from the way other banks do so. But of course, that has to be reflected in the way customers look at us. And we've seen a strong growth of clients, number of clients, but also an increase of the level of satisfaction. I will say a few more words about that in a minute. Society, the stakeholder society, is reflected in two performance indicators: financial resilience and climate neutrality of our balance sheet. Employees reflected in the Net Promoter Score, and shareholder, of course, the financial targets. When I start with a few elements of banking with a human touch, I would like to start with the way we approach interest-only mortgage customers. Over 50% of the Dutch homeowners have financed their homes by taking up interest-only mortgage loans. The peak of that type of mortgage will be seen in the coming 10 years, when clients will be confronted with the end of the maturity of those loans. And we've concluded that in a number of cases, the clients were not sufficiently aware of the fact that at the end of the maturity, they have to fully pay back that loan. And we've started proactively to contact as many clients as possible, and we did so with 48,000 clients in the first half of this year, to discuss with them the characteristic of this type of loan, and to discuss jointly how they can be best advised when the end of the maturity is there. And we know there are customers who are nearing the end of their term and have not built up enough capacity to repay that loan. And for those customers, we will provide a suitable solution that best suits their interest, based on a very important principle that customers will be able to continue living in their home. And if necessary, we will give more time to refinance and repay the loan. Of course, we've taken other initiatives than only focusing on interest-only clients. We started to actively bring back 4,000 clients from debt collection agencies, after we already ceased handing over new loans in arrears in 2017. We've developed a mortgage proposition based on more relaxed rules of the National Mortgage Guarantee Institute, offering special NHG proposition for seniors. In May, we announced that we would recalculate the compensation amounts for early mortgage repayments and early renewals in a period that dates back 5 years from the introduction of the new guidelines. We've further extended the pilot in which financial advisors have the discretionary power to accept mortgages, because the first results of the pilot are successful, and based on that we will expand this pilot, bringing the decision making as close to the client as possible. And we examined how we can make our conditions more simple, more accessible, and how we can boost people's confidence in our services. This examination has led to an adaptation of a number of issues in our payment and savings conditions, and we will also start doing so with our mortgage conditions. Next to further implementing our concept of banking with a human touch, of course we have to be aware of the fact that we need to focus also on efficiency and effectivity, simplifying and innovating our business operations. We've started an execution-only version, a mortgage without advice product, allowing first-time buyers in the housing market to structure and take out their mortgage online without the involvement of a mortgage advisor. We've started preparations to enable our customers to use Payconiq in the course of the second half of the year. Payconiq being a joint effort of the Dutch banks in further improving the efficiency of the Dutch payment market, which will move in 2019 close to a perfect market. Instant payments, 24/7, no cost. I.e. a very efficient example of how the payment market can work, giving us a good basis for further enhancing the relationship with our clients, with the banking account as a start of that relationship. As a second bank in the Netherlands, we launched the IBAN name check in order to avoid unintended payments to wrong bank accounts. And we further developed the mortgage acceptance pilot based on artificial intelligence and transaction data. By the way, not a development where the computer says yes or no, but where we use in a very efficient way, in line with the principles of our concept of banking, data in order to make the acceptance processes more efficient. We've introduced a function in the mobile banking apps of all our brands to display all customers' accounts at the various brands in a single list, which is in a way a form of preparing ourselves for the further introduction of PSD2, an introduction of a directive that has been further postponed in the Netherlands, but still to be expected rounded off by the end of the year. And we've worked on a separate main switch for customers to switch the transfer of payment data to third parties on or off at any time, in order to give clients full control over their own data. Last week, there has been some media attention about the future of the Volksbank. We're not gonna say much about it today, but of course, in addition to further implementing our strategy, the Volksbank is preparing for an independent future. We can also refer to the accord that has been accepted by the political parties that form the Dutch government at the moment. In that accord, it's clearly stated that several options will be examined outside the government, outside being a state-owned bank, keeping in mind the desired diversity in the Dutch banking landscape. We are fully in line with that sentence in the accord, and we're preparing ourselves for that. In our annual report last year, we stated that as part of this, we're examining what governance structure would be most fitting for our strategy. And that examination is conducted in consultation with the supervisory board and NLFI. Any form or timing of our privatization are yet to be determined. And of course, those decisions will be made by the Ministry of Finance after having seen the advice from MLFI. And we're in the midst of that process, and we can't give any comments on that whilst we're working on that process. Commercial developments. Going back to what is really important. We've seen an improvement of our customer weighted NPS to a break-even level, first time in our history, and we're very pleased with that. Two of our brands already for a few years, but show a consistently high positive net promoter score. And SNS over the last 6 years has seen a constant improvement of that score. The weighted average of all our brands for the first time is break even, zero. And as I said before, we're very pleased with that and hope to be able to continue that trend towards a positive NPS for all our brands, but certainly for the weighted average. Not only the client satisfaction has increased, but also the number of clients have increased. That has been driven, of course, by new current accounts. And on a net basis, we've welcomed 32,000 new clients. The market share of the new retail mortgage production is higher than our market share on a total portfolio basis. And the conclusion of that, of course, is that our portfolio grows. In the first half of 2018, we've seen a growth of almost 900 million. Representing a market share in the new production of 7.5%. We're very pleased with that because we like, on the basis of financial resilience, to be able to finance people's home situation as much as possible. Our market share in the retail savings has been stable over the last few years, standing at 10.6 at the moment. Interestingly, even though we've seen historically low saving rates in the Netherlands, the overall market of market size of retail savings is still increasing. As I said, the mortgage portfolio growth is driven by increase in production. Structurally, we've seen a huge number of redemptions. But the retail mortgage portfolio increased due to higher production and a higher level of customer retention. In line with previous years, that mortgage portfolio growth has a tendency to move towards longer interest rate maturities. And Annemiek will say a few more things about that, commenting on the financial results. Annemiek.
Thank you, Maurice. Our net profit came in at 149 million euros, which is lower than the first half of last year and slightly above the second half of last year. The discrepancy versus the first half of last year is largely due to a lower total income, consisting of both lower net interest income and and the absence of a result on an investment that we in the investment portfolio that were made last year. I'll comment on that a bit more later on. If you look at the 149 million, that still equates to an ROE of 8.5% on a substantial capital base, which at a quarter one of 34.3% and a leverage ratio of 5.2% is well above the average that we see in Europe. If we go to the income side, we basically see a declining net interest income versus the first half of last year and a slight increase versus the second half of last year. The underlying trend there is that we continue to see pressure on our net interest income for basically two reasons. One, the average coupon on mortgages declined more than the average coupon on savings, especially given that savings rates are now nearing nil in the Netherlands. We were able to compensate that by the fact that we have successfully grown our book, our mortgage book, as Maurice alluded to slightly below $1 billion, what we couldn't compensate, and that's really the second reason, is the increased hedging cost, also related to the low interest rate environment. Due to the low interest rate environment, we've, over the last couple of years, witnessed a change in customer behavior, whereby the typical Dutch mortgage market, which focused around 10 years mortgage, has gradually moved to longer dated mortgages, which is now the majority of the new production demand from clients. In addition to that demand for longer fixed rate periods, we also see a lower expected prepayment rate, one related to the current low interest rates, but also related to the expected decline in number of housing transactions in the future. Now, from a modeling perspective, that expected lower prepayment rate also impacts the duration of your book. Due to that increased duration, we are hedging more, and those additional hedges come with a cost. And that's one of the main reasons why the net interest income is actually showing the declining trend, as we have seen over the last couple of months. If you look at the net interest margin, it kind of follows the net interest income, where we've seen a higher margin in the first half of last year, and quite stabilization of the margin versus the second half of last year. Aside the NIM impact, we've also, from a total income basis, seen the impact of a decreased investment income, where in the first half of last year, due to realized gains on fixed income investments that were done from a risk perspective, were absent in the first half of this year, where we actually had a small loss on the investment income, also purely related to risk transactions on that liquidity portfolio. So all in all, our adjusted total income, which we in this year no longer need to adjust for the DBV portfolio, but we had to adjust for the DBV portfolio prior to 2018, adjusted total income comes at 480, which is in line with the second half of last year, but 50 million lower than the first half of last year. On the operating expenses side, we've seen a stable development of operating expenses versus the first half of last year, and we've seen a decline by 17 million versus the second half of last year, and that decline basically consisting of the absence of contributions to the non-credit related provisioning and predominantly lower marketing and consulting related costs. Underlying in the also in the composition and the total numbers of our FTE basis, we do see that the announced efficiency measures that we announced in the beginning of 2016 are actually yielding effect. The number of internal FTEs has since the start decreased by almost 200 FTE, which is almost halfway around the originally indicated 400 to 450 million of internal staff and 400 to 450 million of external staff. On the external staff, we've seen a contrary development up until now, which basically was related to the impact of regulatory projects, for instance related to transaction monitoring, but also projects to recalling our clients from debt collectors and to actually contacting a certain amount of clients with a interest-only mortgage. If you look at the development of the cost-income ratio, obviously it was hugely impacted by both the decrease in income and an increase in cost in the second half of last year. And in the first half of this year, we've seen a decline there to now 56.7%. The macroeconomic environment doesn't only impact our net interest income in a negative way, it also has a positive impact, obviously, on the quality of our retail book, where we've seen the loan-to-value decrease further from 74 to 72%, and where we've seen a decrease in loan in arrears to 1.1%. In IFRS 9 terms, we've also seen a decrease in Stage 2 and decrease in Stage 3 loans in our books, and we've seen a release of provisioning of 16 million euros. On the capital basis, we came out with a quarter one of 34.3%, which was higher than the 34.1% last year, despite the 2.14% of IFRS impact that we have incurred. And the still higher quarter one was predominantly related to the lower risk-weighted assets, basically due to better macroeconomic circumstances. The leverage ratio came in at 5.2% and still forms a rather stable and solid and high leverage ratio. If we were to look at the quarter one from a fully phased Basel IV perspective, that would be 25% at the 13 June. The outlook for the rest of the year, based on the continuation of the macroeconomic environment, we do expect a continued pressure on the net interest income. And that combined with less investment income on the first half of this year combined to the first half of last year, in total leads us to expect lower total income than last year, possibly accompanied by a slightly lower release of provisionings for loans for the whole year. And a stable cost base leads us to the assumption that we are expecting a lower profit for 2017 and for 2018 versus 2017 at this point in time. I think so far for the financial results.
Yeah. Thank you. Then we move to the question and answers part of this call. So the floor is yours.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. When you have a question, please press star one. Your question will be answered in the order that they are received. If you have a question, please press star one. The first question is from Mr. Cor Kluis from ABN AMRO. Go ahead, please, sir.
Good morning, Cor Kluis, ABN. Got a couple of questions. First of all, on expenses, you mentioned that the operating expenses, excluding regulatory costs, will be flattish year-on-year. That implies that the second half, I think, should be a cost level of around 288 million versus the 272 in the first half. Why is that going to go up in the second half of this year, excluding regulatory costs? And are there some one expected one-offs in that? So that's my first question. Second question is about loan losses. Could you give an idea about what for the Volksbank company would be a normal level of loan losses in the future? So not this year or next year, but what would be a normal level? And I understand that under IFRS 9 is much more volatile, of course, but at least get some idea what you believe is normal. And my third question is about the debt collection that you're doing that yourself. What would be the total effect on the expenses? Your own costs go up, of course, but you don't have to hire those externals anymore, external parties. Is the net cost effect zero, or how do you look to that? And related to that, the temps, I think this is one of the reasons why the temps are up. And I think your planning was, of course, to bring the temps down by around 400 to 450 versus the 2016 level. Could you also highlight how long that temp elevated level would be? That were my questions.
Thanks, Cor. The assumption on the second half that you make for cost is correct. If we are looking at a flattish cost base, which we are, could be flattish to slightly lower. One of the reasons why we expect that the second half might actually incur higher costs than the first half is related to a current improvement, among others, to a current improvement program that we're also running to improve the efficiency of our mortgage operations, where we do expect some of the investments to actually have to be made in the second half of this year. And similar to some of the impact on actually reaching out to customers with a interest-only mortgage. So some of the projects that we're currently doing, partly related to actually improving the efficiency, partly related to the way we bank and to banking with a human touch, may lead to some increase in cost in the second half of this year. In terms of loan loss provisioning and cost of risk, after the period of releases that we currently see, if you would look at it through the cycle, I think at this point in time, it's still hard for us to give a through the cycle normalized IFRS 9 based guidance for retail mortgages. We've always in the past indicated that a through the cycle retail mortgage cost of risk could be anywhere between around the 8 bips level. At this point in time, there's no reason to expect that to deviate a lot, but we'll really have to see how that points out in IFRS 9. IFRS 9 comes with a volatility that we'll still have to experience, so we haven't given out a new expectation of that yet under the IFRS 9 environment. In terms of debt collection, the actual recalling of clients that are currently out there at the debt collection agencies incurs initial operational cost from the top of my head that is around 5 million. Ultimately, we do expect that to be a positive business case. We actually expect that by handling those clients ourselves, by the same people that actually also deal with the arrears department and the lack of fees that we have to pay to the debt collection agency, we do expect that in around 3 to 4 years, this will be a positive business case from a cost perspective, and especially a positive business case from a client perspective.
And the 5 million, was it for the first half or the full year?
That's full year.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any questions or remarks, please press star one. Go ahead, please. Star one for any questions. Seems to be no further questions, so please continue.
Well, the continuation then comes by concluding that we've been extremely crystal clear in the presentation of our first half results. So we thank you all for calling in and hope to see you next time. Thank you very much.